Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The game between Ohio State and Michigan. We have all been waiting for it. It is here tomorrow. Whole lot at stake for both the Wolverines and the Buckeyes in terms of the college football playoff rankings that will come out on Tuesday. Both right now, the number two and the number three teams in the college football playoff, both undefeated. Somebody's walking out of there with one loss. And what that means for the rankings going forward is what all eyes will be on coming out of this epic college football weekend we have on tap. This is Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app. Courtney Cronin, Braden Gall, filling in for the guys on this Friday afternoon. Hope you all are enjoying your Friday. Hope you're not working. Hope you're watching some USA and England in the FIFA World Cup. We're watching that right now. Things just kicked off in Qatar. Looks like it's actually kind of a nice night there. 74 degrees is what my TV is telling me. It's actually kind of a nice day where I'm at right now. 55 degrees here in Chicago. Not normal for this time of year, but we'll take it. Definitely going to be scooting out of here to go watch some World Cup action after we finish up here on Barton Hahn. I think Braden's on the phone. We had some technical difficulties. Let's talk some Ohio State and Michigan, because like we were talking about all show long with this game and just how different this one feels this year because of the implications on the college football playoff, I feel like last year's game where Michigan just crushed the Buckeyes, 42-27, why do I feel like that game actually is carrying weight on this year's game? Do you see it the same way?
Absolutely. I think Michigan played such a different style of game last year and was able to dictate every possible part of that game, physicality from the very, very beginning, and it led to an absolute dominating performance against Ohio State that had owned them in the rivalry. So I think when you look at this matchup, I think Michigan, as long as how healthy is Blake Corum, a Heisman Trophy caliber running back, that's really, really important. I think this Michigan team, I know they're like a 7.5, 8-point underdog. Ohio State has the weapons. Ohio State's at home. Ohio State's got the better resume in theory. I think Michigan still has like a psychological advantage here. And if they can use that to their advantage, slow the game down, make it super ugly, super dirty, and make it a physical, like low scoring, like 24-21 type of game, I actually really think Michigan has a very good chance to go into that building and win, because Michigan sort of is comfortable in its own identity. And I haven't seen the consistency from Ohio State. They're both very, 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 very good teams. There's no question about that. But there is this, show us, Ohio State, that you are elite, that you're number two, that you can compete with Georgia. And we haven't really seen that consistency the entire season so far from the Buckeyes.
11-0 against 11-0 on Saturday. Last year, as Braden was talking about, we saw Michigan dominate Ohio State. If they win again, going into Columbus as 7.5-point underdogs here, that would be the first time they get back-to-back wins over the Buckeyes since 1999-2000. That was a long time ago. And this could also be, as it pertains to Ohio State, a moment where C.J. Stroud, quarterback for the Buckeyes, could secure the Heisman Trophy with a stellar performance against the second-best defense in the nation, considering how highly anticipated this game is. All eyes will be on the Buckeyes quarterback in that respect. But I keep focusing on Tuesday. I'm not trying to look past this game. I'm trying to pay attention here to the college football playoff rankings, though, and what that means. Who can afford a loss more coming out of this game? Because somebody's losing, whether it's Ohio State or Michigan. Heather Dinich, ESPN College Football Insider, was on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max talking about how things will shake out from this game and how it'll affect the rankings on Tuesday.
Ohio State can afford a loss slightly more. And this answer, of course, depends on how the other games and ultimately the conference championship games play out, because I wouldn't rule out Michigan. But in the selection committee meeting room, the difference between those two teams right now is Ohio State's win against Notre Dame. And as you look at Michigan's schedule, Colorado State, Hawaii, UConn, I know Michigan fans are tired of me pointing this out, but it is the second weakest non-conference schedule in the FBS. And it is only going to matter. It's only going to matter if they don't beat the Buckeyes on Saturday. Because if they don't, their best win is against Penn State. And that is a good win, but it's the only really impressive win.
That impressive win that that Heather was talking about earlier this season was the Notre Dame win, because now Notre Dame's the number 5 team in the country. Maybe things would be different, Braden, if Notre Dame didn't have this surge where they figured out they were actually good at football in spite of all their injuries. But that 21-10 win to open the season, which was a great game, even though it was a low-scoring game, could be the deciding factor for the committee, that is, in determining if there is a one-loss team that is a Michigan team, why they wouldn't get into the college football playoff. Because I'm looking at their schedule right now. Yeah, 51 points against Colorado State, 56 points against Hawaii, 59 points against UConn, then began their Big Ten slate. It's just not all that impressive in terms of the caliber of wins. Yeah, they score a lot of points and they've got a good defense, but who they're doing it against matters.
Yeah, I completely agree. And if you look at me, again, I would argue the Big Ten is being propped up. I know there's a deep state SEC cabal out there, Courtney, where we're all in the can for the SEC. But really, the team that's getting the league that's getting the benefit of the doubt, the resumes that are getting the benefit of the doubt, is Ohio State, Michigan, and to some degree, Penn State. Penn State hasn't beaten anybody. Like, they've played two really good teams. They played Ohio State well. But all those resumes are kind of being propped up by the perception that they are very, very good teams. Now, it doesn't mean that they're not really good teams. Michigan and Ohio State are very good teams. It doesn't mean that the resume is better than TCU or better than USC potentially, or even better than what LSU could have if they should beat Georgia in an SEC championship game. So I want to know, like, to your exact point, how does this game look? If this is a very high-level game that clearly looks like two of the best teams in America playing a down-to-the-wire type of game, I think that's going to give the committee what they need to see from Michigan to say, look, they absolutely belong at 3. They absolutely belong in the conversation. And if TCU were to lose, or USC were to lose, or Clemson doesn't finish out the season, all of a sudden I think Michigan has an absolute chance, if they were to lose hypothetically, or even Ohio State maybe, to absolutely be a second team from the Big Ten getting into the playoff. I think that's absolutely possible.
Yeah, and I mean, Ohio State has a better strength of schedule considering how many more ranked opponents they've played. And, of course, you go back to that Notre Dame game, you know, but there was also the Penn State win a couple weeks ago that I think helps their case, 44-31. It was a back-and-forth affair. C.J. Stroud had, you know, his second highest output passing yards-wise of the season. Those were those other moments where you say this guy might be a Heisman Trophy candidate, and certainly that doesn't factor into the CFP all that much, but the way that they're playing, the style they're playing, that does factor in too. But there will be a one-loss team coming out of this weekend, which I think is good because it shakes things up a little bit. We've talked about the Michigan side of things. How can Ohio State lose the game and still get into the college football playoff? Here's Cardale Jones, former Ohio State quarterback on Keyshawn, J. Will and Max.
I think you got to see what other teams do. I think you had that situation a few years back when I think it was Alabama who didn't play in their conference championship game, where they were still able to get in the college football playoff. I think they're still, you know, win, lose, or draw. These are still two of the top four teams in the country. And I'm glad I'm not a part of that committee that's going to be the one that potentially, you know, veto one of those guys out of this college football playoff because of a win. I mean, because of a loss. So it's tough because you got two, like I said, you got two great teams that definitely deserve to be in the top four when it's all said and done, if things continue to go the way they're going right now.
That was Cardale Jones, former Ohio State quarterback on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Do you think that that's true? Because obviously you have to look at, like, the Clemson game, the USC game against Notre Dame this weekend. There's many other games that factor into what this one-loss team, whether it's Ohio State or Michigan, how their fate's going to play out. But what he brought up about that Alabama team, and I'm trying to remember off the top of my head which year that was that they got in without having to be in the SEC championship game.
2017, okay. I believe, because that was the Tua year where he comes off the bench and Georgia was your SEC champion.
Yes.
And then they lose to Georgia. They beat Georgia in the overtime, all super famous. Also, Ohio State's made it into the playoff as a non-champion. Remember Penn State in 2016, the year before? Penn State was the Big Ten champ. They had two losses. Ohio State got into the playoff that year. So there is precedent for a second team to get in as a non-champion. Like that's what we have never seen, though, is a two-loss team get in. That's the one thing that's the major wild card here. If Oregon, for example, were to win the Pac-12 title, LSU were to beat Georgia. Right, like that's the thing that's unprecedented. We've seen non-champions get in. The question is, are they willing to put a two-loss team in, especially considering LSU's loss was in week number one, Brian Kelly's first game as the coach, and it was on the very last play of the game against a top 20 team, Florida State.
Yeah.
So, like, all of that context matters, and that's why how the Ohio State-Michigan game plays out matters, how USC-Notre Dame plays out matters. If TCU were to lose, it matters how you lose. It's I know beauty contest is not ideal, but, like, it is a subjective decision by a group of humans. And I don't want to hear anyone complain about it because everyone was screaming about too many computers in the BCS, too many computers. Where's the human element? Well, then we brought the human element in, and now you're complaining about that? Like, give me a break. So I think you got to let the committee do their job. They're actually really, really good at their job.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Save when you bundle motorcycle, RV, and boat insurance by visiting progressive.com. Let's welcome in Neil McCready, who covers Ole Miss for Rebel Grove. And Neil, I know there's been so much talked about as far as Lane Kiffin's job status and whether he's going to remain at Ole Miss following the Egg Bowl loss last night. What can you tell us about the latest, given everything that's played out this week and everything that played out in his press conference last night?
Yeah, thanks for having me. Happy Thanksgiving to you guys. You know, he was pressed pretty hard last night by me and others about his future plans, about his status. He gave some pretty firm answers, but he probably left himself a little bit of wiggle room. I mean, not legitimately, but you know how this works in coaching. I mean, he could walk away from it and say, well, when I answered those questions, I didn't have a firm offer from Auburn. It's going to be somewhat disingenuous, but the people at Auburn will – The fans there would sign off on it. The people here, of course, would hate him. That's just how it works. It's college football. As for his status, as we record this on, as we tape this on Friday afternoon, I don't know that either side knows. The ball is in Lane Kiffin's court. He has an extension on the table from Ole Miss that's worth about $9 million a year. It might be up to a six-year deal. He hasn't signed it. He hasn't verbally agreed to it. He has just kind of passed over that question when he gets it, and he's gotten it a couple of times now. I asked about it in Fayetteville a week ago. He was asked about it last night in Oxford. He sort of gave the same answer about, you know, doesn't see why it's such an important thing for him to sign it right now, which is a very disingenuous answer. And, you know, I think he is waiting on an official offer from Auburn. Depends on who you talk to over there, whether Auburn is waiting for the Iron Bowl to come and go as a sign of respect to Carnell Williams, or whether Auburn is deciding whether to pull the trigger on Lane Kiffin or go another route.
Neil McCready joining us here from rebelgrove.com. Make sure you check out all his great work there. Neil, what do you think is the deciding factor? What is it that drives and motivates Lane Kiffin in this decision? Is it just the massive contract? Is it competing against Nick Saban in the state of Alabama? Is it winning a national championship because Auburn has a better chance at that? Is it wanting to stay at Ole Miss and wait for another job, maybe an NFL job or Alabama maybe down the road? What is it that drives him in this decision, you think?
You know, Braden, it's interesting because I think he's done himself a lot of damage here in the last 2 to 3 weeks. He's not handled this well. There have been reports he got kind of petty on Twitter with the reporter, John Sokoloff, who I'm not convinced the story was wrong, what he wrote on Monday that kind of created a firestorm here for a couple of days. I can tell you this, if he stays at Ole Miss, he can't do this again next year. He's lost so much capital with fans. You've never seen, or I shouldn't say never, it's very rare that you see a coach lose this much capital with fans, with boosters, with administration in a 5, 6, 7 day period. It's unreal how fast it has dissolved on him. What motivates him? I don't know. Lane Kiffin's an aloof guy, right? You get Lane Kiffin on social media, he's one person. Lane Kiffin away from social media is a different guy. What motivates him? I don't know. Does he feel like Auburn gives him a better chance at competing for the national championship? I mean, perhaps. I don't know. Does he want to wait for something bigger? I mean, you know, that's a gamble. And here's the thing. If you're going to stay at Ole Miss, if you're Lane Kiffin and you're going to stay at Ole Miss, you've got to decide that you're going to be more bought in than he is. Or else you're better off taking the job at Auburn where you can sort of hit the reset button. Everybody there is going to love you off the bat, and you take over a program there and you compete against Nick Saban and you compete against Kirby Smart every year, and that's who you're judged against. And you hope that you can kind of catch lightning in a bottle and get off to a hot start like he did at Ole Miss and build on it in a way that he was unable to build on this year. I mean, Ole Miss was 7-0, seventh in the country. And since then, they went 1-4. And the last two games, they played pretty uninspired, kind of seemed to be almost unprepared football. It showed, and people saw it, and they got blown out in Fayetteville, and they just lost to Mississippi State at home in the Egg Bowl. So, I mean, people aren't exactly crazy about him right now, Braden.
Neil, we've seen deals get blown up before because reports leak and information leaks before it really needs to or before the deals are truly done. Do you think that this could potentially be a version of that? Because I just don't understand why a report like this would come out, somebody who was right about another hire when John Cohen went from Mississippi State to Auburn to become the athletic director for the Tigers. Like, could this potentially be a real thing, even though Lane denied it and said that it was all lie and fake news, that it just got out before it needed to, and that ended up blowing everything up and keeping him at Ole Miss?
Certainly possible. I would even argue that it might be likely that it was real and that it got out before it was supposed to get out, or it got out early for a reason. And I don't know what that reason would be. You know, look, I know John. I think he's a very good reporter. He didn't make it up. He ran it by editors. He didn't just publish it on a blog somewhere. I mean, people had to approve it. So there was at least some truth to it, probably a lot of truth to it. The question would be, why did it leak? How did it leak? And was there a motivation behind that leak, or was it just one of those things that it got out? And, you know, if you're Auburn, I think you – look, if Auburn wants Lane Kiffin, I think Auburn can get Lane Kiffin. I really do. The question is, does Auburn want Lane Kiffin? Are they willing to pull the trigger on this? And then if you're Ole Miss and you think Lane Kiffin's going to leave, you know, today's Friday. It sounds crazy, but with the new portal rules and all of that stuff, December the 5th is a real day. You've got to have a coach in place by December the 5th, which means you've got to get moving. And so if you're Ole Miss and you think Lane Kiffin's leaving, you've got to start moving now. And so if you're Ole Miss, you don't really have a lot of – you're not worried about Carnell Williams and about the Iron Bowl and about, well, you know, whether he's respected and former players feel good about it at Auburn. If you're Ole Miss, you couldn't care less. If you're Ole Miss, at some point here in the next, I would guess, 24 hours or so, you've got to look Lane Kiffin in the eye and go, hey, it's time, one way or the other.
All right, Neil, appreciate it. Thanks so much for the insight.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate you.
That's Neil McCready, covers Ole Miss for RebelGrove.com. I guess we're on lane watch, Braden, for the next couple weeks. It's 10 days until December 5th, which Neil was saying is the day that we need to be on the look for, because you need to have a college coach in. You need to have a college coach in place for that. Recruiting rules be damned, all that stuff has changed now that we have the transfer portal and everything else that plays into coaches being able to have so much free movement, especially in the month of December when letters of intent seem to be not so binding the way that they used to be. It's ESPN Radio, the ESPN app. You're listening to Barton Hahn, Courtney Cronin, Braden Gall. So as we wait for this, I think one thing I took away from what Neil said was that, you know, it's interesting that he hasn't signed the extension. And that's my biggest question. Like, why has he not signed the extension if he has every intent to stay at Ole Miss, which he said he did? We heard Neil earlier in the show when we played that clip from Lane's press conference. He said he intends to stay at Ole Miss for the 2023 season. And he also said, well, I don't see the point in signing these things. I've done three of them before. So why not make it a fourth? Why not put all of this drama to bed by going ahead and signing everything? So that's how I look at it, where he didn't need to leave that door open. If he truly wanted to shut it, Braden, he could have.
Yeah. You've got $9 million offer on the table, roughly
like,
speaking.
Why are you
there?
Not signing that? Is it going to be more at Auburn? Right. Was it, would it really be more at Auburn? I know the lumber, whatever his name is, that lumber booster makes, you know, quite a bit of money and can funnel money into that program.
Yellowwood.
But, yes, is it that much – could it be that much bigger of an offer at Auburn?
If you're asking that question, like, there's no reporting around this. There's always lots of rumors. Could Auburn pay between $11 or $12 million a year for a coach? You bet. And all things considered, if you are trying to win a national championship and want to make more money, Auburn is the better place 10 times out of 10 over Ole Miss. It's just always been that way. Ole Miss has not competed at the highest possible level since before integration. Auburn's been to 2 national championship games in the last 15 years. Like, it's not close which program can win more and can compete at the highest level. And the other stuff that's happening right now with Auburn is all the boosters are lining up for NIL money. They are filling the coffers right now at Auburn to say, look, enough of this. We're watching A&M do this. We're watching Bama now try to do this. Georgia's doing it. Florida's doing it. LSU's back. We can't afford not to spend money on players. We got to do it. And I think – so if you're looking at trying to win a national championship – and here's the other thing about Kiffin. We know the ego is a big thing here. Being the guy at Auburn that could compete with Saban routinely, that's a pretty nice – carrot you're dangling in front of Lane Kiffin. You know what I mean? Like, the ego of being the guy to compete with Nick Saban, that's a pretty big deal.
Yeah. No, I agree. And I mean, I know that we've talked about how much he's changed personality-wise. His Twitter personality does not represent him most times in real life. But something else Neil said that really stuck with me is how much credibility he's lost with boosters and with the fans the last couple of days for how this whole thing has played out and just how long it might take him to get that back. So Lane Kiffin could just look at that and say, to hell with it. I'm going to go ahead and go to Auburn and, you know, restart there. And I couldn't care less if one fan base hates me because I've got about 3 others in the college football world. Tennessee, USC. I don't know if FAU really hates him, but, you know, the Raiders, throw them in there too. He's got a lot of fan bases at 47 years old where he's public enemy number one. I don't think that would really matter to him much if people in Oxford are up in arms about the way that he leaves. But it'll certainly be a story. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. You can hit us up on the Dr. Pepper call-in line, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Coming up next, we'll tell you what NFL teams are contenders and which are pretenders, and we want you to join in the conversation. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Who are you buying? Who are you selling? That's next, Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio.
Hey, it's Max Kellerman from Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. They told us we can give you guys anything we wanted. So, of course, everyone wants. We're giving you cash.
You want to talk about money?
We're giving away $10,000 a day. And all you have to do is listen for your chance to win.
Your chance to win. Weekday mornings with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Starting at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and ESPN2.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
15 minutes into USA and England, my biggest takeaway right now is that England's players appear to be better than the American players. I don't know if that's like hard-hitting analysis for you guys, but that's at least my takeaway. This is Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio, the ESPN app. Courtney Cronin, Braden Gall filling in for the guys on this Friday afternoon. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. How's my analysis? Was that good?
You know what? That's what they said during the Revolutionary War, too, okay? Look how that turned out, all right?
Minor setback for a major comeback.
You rooting for Great Britain then, too? Huh, Courtney?
No.
Huh?
Definitely wasn't. All about my country pride. I'm trying to, like, analyze this with...
No, they're better at soccer, yes. That is true.
Okay, good. I'm glad I'm not crazy on that. I'm glad that my hashtag analysis is up to par. Let's bring in James Steele, our producer here on Barton Hahn, for a game of Contender or Pretender. Sounds pretty straightforward, unlike the last game that I did not know how to play, but ended up acing. So, James, where are we starting?
Yeah, I think all these games are pretty much the same. So,
they just got different names.
Yeah,
different words.
That's breaking down the fourth wall there. All right, contender or pretender. Just going to name a team, and you tell me what you think. Let's start off with the Bills. Contender or pretender?
They are a contender, and I heard there in the Sports Center update, it could be 1 to 2 weeks for Von Miller. It could be the entire season. It's a problem if they don't have him for the playoffs. Like, I think that if you can get through the rest of this year, you're probably not going to get home field advantage in the postseason, but get through the rest of this season, let him be healthy, because if they want to stay contenders, they need him. They need him. They absolutely need him. And I think they need Josh Allen to start playing better, but go ahead and call them contenders. I'm going to.
I still think they could be the best team in the NFL, the best football team in the world. So they're absolutely contenders. Until proven otherwise, the Buffalo Bills are one of the top two, maybe, like, worst case scenario. What are they, the third best team? Fourth best team? Worst case scenario in the NFL right now? In a league where no offense has taken place all season, quarterbacks are injured, defenses are great. Give me the T-Rex at quarterback, Josh Allen, and say, look, I'll go to battle with those folks all day.
Yeah, let's not forget, they are currently the 2 seed. They would win the AFC East if it ended today because they won last night. Miami is the 5 seed currently. The Jets are the 7 seed. So if you ever thought the AFC East would have 3 teams in the playoffs, then you're probably better than most of the rest of us. But no, it's... until proven otherwise. I like that phrase, Braden, because I just don't think you can count them out, no matter the injuries that they have right now, no matter some of the questionable red zone decisions that Josh Allen has made. They still are a really good team, and they were my preseason Super Bowl favorite, so I want to stick with that. All right, who we got next?
All right, up next, the Cowboys. Contender or pretender?
Contender. I've already talked about this for like the last 5 hours. Good team.
All right,
really good
calm
running
down
game.
Now. Everyone's
great
listening
defense.
To 5 hours.
Pass rush.
Jeez.
So, like, kidding. The audience changes every 5 minutes. No, I mean, what more is there to say about how good this running back duo is? I know I'm just throwing out, like, this guy's the best this. This guy's the best this. I think Tony Pollard may be the best offensive player that Dallas has right now. I really believe that because outside of the fact that he was carrying the load when Zeke was out for a couple weeks, he's still so explosive with his share of the load offensively, as we saw yesterday in the win that they had over the New York Giants. And if you're going to add Odell Beckham into the mix, that puts you over the top. Like, I think they can get there right now without him. I think that this offense, the way that it's constructed, and certainly the way that this defense has carried the Cowboys coming out of week one, when Dak goes down and they have to rely on Cooper Rush, that unit is still really, really good. So, yeah, they're contenders.
Awesome offensive guard Zach Martin for the Dallas Cowboys might have a word with you on who's the best offensive player on the
Dallas
Cowboys.
I would gladly take that.
But the point is CeeDee Lamb is a exceptional player at wide receiver. They've got like 11 tight ends that all fit into one copper kettle apparently, and they've got a quarterback who's pretty darn good. They've got an offensive line that's pretty good and two backs that are running the ball well. So the only question is really the offensive scheme, the coaching staff, and then maybe Dak Prescott in a key moment. They're a contender. They're a contender is until proven otherwise, even though they're the 5 seed right now in the NFC. I think they can catch Philly. They're going to get them at home later in the year. I think they absolutely can win the division. And if they do, then they're absolutely a contender. Can they win the Super Bowl? Can they win playoff games in crunch time when you need Dak to make big plays?
Gotta find that out here soon.
We got to find that out. Only time will tell that.
That was definitely an underrated thing we haven't talked about today is how many tight ends do the Cowboys have and how do they all fit
literally four on the active roster
into that kettle or whatever it's called. Okay,
they played a great game of whack-a-mole. It was great.
There's a lot of them in there. I didn't think they would all fit. All right, next up, the Dolphins, contender or pretender?
Ooh. I think they need – you want me to go first?
Yes, yeah. Go ahead.
I'm going to say pretender for now because I think that you need to grow into your Super Bowl-like self. And I think Tua's the real deal. I think all the weapons are the real deal. I like the coaching staff. I think they could add a couple more defensive pieces. I think this is a year where we see progress and growth from Miami. But the natural progression of these things – like Cincinnati's run last year was not the natural progression. The natural progression is you sort of build up to this – all of a sudden you become a winning franchise that competes for division titles, and all of a sudden you're playing in playoff games. Then you got to learn how to win, and then you got to host them, and then you learn how to go deep. I still think they're a step away from learning how to go deep in the playoffs.
And let's not forget the last four teams that they've beaten on this four-game win streak: Pittsburgh, Detroit, Chicago, Cleveland. I know these, especially that Chicago game was a hard-fought game that they had to win at the end. But these aren't the elite competition that they'd be facing in the postseason. I think they'll get to the playoffs for sure. Are they a Super Bowl contender? In my mind, they're still a year away.
Yep. Agree.
All right, up next, the Vikings, contender and pretender.
And they're a contender. I said it earlier. I mean, and I want to stick with that because I don't want to say that Kirk Cousins is the only reason that would torpedo their chances. Depends which Kirk you're going to get, but if you can get this version where even in a primetime game, he's still throwing for nearly 300 yards and three touchdowns, that's important. You've got skill players who are really, really good, and they've been able to integrate TJ Hockenson to this offense in ways that I was kind of surprised how quickly they did that at the trade deadline. They've got a second gear they can hit. They just have to hit it because of all these one-score games. That's going to keep people thinking that they are pretenders over contenders, but I've got them in the contender category.
Hard to be 9-2 after 11 games and not be a contender.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
Here's the thing, though, to why you like Dallas, why I like Buffalo, why Kansas City's so good. Like, we like Philadelphia. We like balance. We like experience. We like quarterback play. We like coaching, right? Culture. Like, those are the things that create a championship-caliber football team. And it just feels like there's a little – like, the head coach, I think, is very highly of. Not a lot of experience. The quarterback, we think, is pretty good. But how good? We're not really sure. They're not as balanced on offense. They're not as balanced on defense as some of the other teams. So it's sort of like just polishing the edges for Minnesota. And if they do some of that over the final 4 weeks, 5 weeks, 6 weeks of the season – that's where you start to really feel like this team could make a really deep run. But otherwise, it's sort of – they're just not quite – it doesn't feel like they're quite as good and as balanced and as complete as some of the other teams we've talked about. But I think they're a contender. Yeah, you can't be the two seed and half a game out of being the number one seed in your conference and be, you know, a total pretender.
Okay. We are playing contender or pretender here on Bart and Hahn, ESPN Radio, Courtney Cronin, Braden Gall, James Steele. What are we next?
Hi, I'm James. The Titans – quickly, Braden, the Titans, contender or pretender?
They are a contender because they're one of like only three or four teams in the NFL that have like they have one of the best records in the NFL over the last 4 years.
Crazy.
No coach has dealt with more injuries than Mike Vrabel and figured out ways to implement new pieces. They are a culture team. I think the same questions about Kirk Cousins and Dak Prescott. Like, it's all about, can Ryan Tannehill deliver in the postseason? Here's the thing that makes them very special, though: their defensive line. They blitz less than any team in the NFL, and they get more pressure than any team in the NFL. And if you can do that without having to blitz, it allows your defense to play a lot of different coverages and play against a lot of different teams. Mike Vrabel has Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes figured out. They took Malik Willis in his second ever start into Kansas City and almost beat that team in overtime. They know how to play Kansas City. So Mike Vrabel is incredibly underrated. This Titans team is incredibly underrated. And now their passing game, the last two games, has been very good with Treylon Burks, the rookie first-round draft pick. They're starting to find some things on offense. Watch the development of that offense because the defense is Super Bowl caliber for sure. So, contender.
They're a pretender for me. I know they're a 3 seed right now. I'm looking at the rest of the AFC field when I'm factoring this in, though, teams that are going to get out of that conference and play for a Super Bowl. I think Ryan Tannehill kind of falls into that Kirk Cousins argument,
yep,
that Dak Prescott argument that we've been – Jimmy G, like how many other quarterbacks where it's like, hey, your team's great, but you are a giant question mark. That, for me, is what's holding me back on going all in on Tennessee. Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, coming up next. Are the U.S. men's national team contenders or pretenders? We're going to tell you here on Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio.
Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and car insurance. Go to geico.com today.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio, ESPN app, Courtney Cronin, Braden Gall, taking you down the stretch here on this gorgeous Friday afternoon. Little news out of the Chicago Bears. Justin Fields, officially questionable against the New York Jets on Sunday. He was limited in practice on Friday. He has an AC joint injury in his non-throwing shoulder. It's been the topic of conversation all week. I cover the Bears for ESPN's NFL Nation, so this is a big one. He is headed to the tri-state area. He's going to head to New York. He will probably end up being a game time decision. I feel like that's the way, Braden, that they're going to play this, right or wrong, knowing that this is a 3-8 football team that believes gamesmanship is absolutely worth it at this time of year and necessary against a team that's starting Mike White at quarterback.
Oh man. So who starts for, is that Louisiana Tech Mike White? Good Lord. Listen, AC joints, but Bryce Young dealt with at Alabama. He sat out basically a game and a half, two weeks plus, and came back and has been pretty good ever since. This is not a long-term thing, right, that can keep him out for the entire season. But you don't want to risk injury. I don't know why. Like, to me, Justin Fields has shown us something this year that we have not seen yet. And that is this ability to be the guy moving forward definitively, right? And I think if that's the case, you got to protect that asset. So, mm-hmm. I don't know. I guess if it's gamesmanship, fine. But otherwise, protect the asset. Keep your guys – there's no reason to risk it. There is absolutely no purpose. I mean, if anything, help your draft stock. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I get it. And I think that that's very much part of it in terms of the overall result, at least what you want coming out of this year. They're never going to say that publicly. But I also think that there is something to be said about letting your quarterback rest the next two games when you have a week 14 bye coming up. That's three yep. weeks to heal something that doesn't take more than a month, more or less, to be at a point where you're not having to manage it with, you know, getting shot up before a game the way he talked about having to do this week, potentially. But it could all just be for naught. I mean, they are listing him as questionable. It's not like he's doubtful. It's not like he doesn't have an injury designation. So there is at least something to keep an eye on here. The smart play, I think, even though it's not his throwing shoulder, even though it's can be managed by with, you know, medication, more or less, let him sit, let him rest. You know, he doesn't really have to prove anything to you right now. But in a couple weeks, you can get him back in the fold and start working on him as a passer. I think that's necessary.
It's an important point to mention. It's not his throwing shoulder. That's
correct.
Really important by you to say that. But also, like, does Justin Fields take the average number of hits as an NFL quarterback?
Way or perhaps, more than that.
Or perhaps more. So
more than that.
If you're going to be that dynamic and that's going to be such a huge part of your game, the way it is for Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson and all these other guys, then you got to protect it, man. This is we are talking about what is now, what, a $300 million asset moving uh-huh. forward? Like, that's what these guys are now at that position. So
absolutely.
Why would you not handle it with kid gloves? I don't know. Not when you're 3-8.
Nope, not when you are a losing football team, at least not right now. A couple college football games to keep you updated on. Tulane has a 20-17 lead over Cincinnati, that game having an impact on the AAC playoff race, or at least for the race for the conference championship. Baylor has a 27-24 lead over Texas. They just had a scoop and score that converted on the two-point conversion, 13:30 left in the fourth quarter. Thoughts on the U.S. men's national team, Braden?
Thoughts and prayers for me and my general sanity right now. That was about as good a half as you could have expected. Nil-nil, nothing.
Towards the end, though, because we didn't like it going in.
No. First 20 minutes, England controlled possession, but they didn't get a ton of chances. The U.S. with three really good chances. Pulisic bangs one off the crossbar. A couple of Weston McKennie missed an opportunity, too. So some good chances. Speed, USA. Put your foot on the gas and go. It has given them a chance. But right now, nothing. They need that point. So far, optimism, Courtney, optimism. And my body and my brain and my heart cannot handle any more of this, but we've got 45 more minutes. So.
Yeah, well, I know where you're headed after this, and it's going to
be the bar.
To the bar to watch this game and to drink your sorrows if we don't end up winning. But cheers to the U.S. Candy and Carlin is next. Thanks for listening to Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio.
Hey, it's Chris Carlin
and Chris Kenny, and we're hoping that you're having a happy Thanksgiving Day weekend, enjoying all the food and the ball.
And don't forget to check us out weekdays 3 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and watch on the ESPN app.